Taking my assignments, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity that you provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word. It provides us with the information we need to have in order to really understand what's going on here and in the devil's world and why and how it is that you are ultimately going to overcome the entire world by virtue of the work of our Lord on the cross. And that we get to participate in that as members of your royal family to our glory, or your glory and our benefit. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information is communicated, subsequently be made available for recall and application. We ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our verse-by-verse study of Romans, we're in verse chapter 3, verse 1, that starts out with the question about what's the advantage of the Jew. And remember, we saw in chapter 2 that he was beaten on the Jews for their misapplication of the law. Actually, it's an application of all of their advantages is what it amounts to. They thought they were saved on the basis of Abraham. They thought they were saved on the basis of the law. And none of that was true because they have a sin nature just like everybody else that requires the work of Jesus. And that they, well, it's typical. People just don't think. So we know that they have a racial advantage, a doctrinal advantage, and they were God's priest nation. And this brought us to the doctrine of priest-client nation, which is an interesting topic because it explains history. A lot of people don't understand why it is that certain nations are prospered and other nations who would seemingly have the same opportunity aren't. Because if you look at the nations that are divided across the world, most of them have significant amount of assets as far as raw material, but they're not able to use it. And the reason for that is thinking. That their thinking is not accurate. And some nations that have nothing, virtually nothing, like Great Britain, England, they're an island nation. So all of their resources came from colonies. Nations like that are prospered under the system that God has established. And of course, what that means is capacity equals blessing. And that's the other thing that people don't get. They think that everybody's the same. Well, they're not. From God's point of view, doctrinal capacity is the issue. And when you recognize that God is the source of the blessing, then the differentiation that exists across the globe is understandable. Because if the metric is capacity from the Word of God, certain places have no capacity, even though they could have. You know, it's ironic that you've got places, specifically in Africa, that were once quite powerful. I mean, they were colonies. As colonies, they were. They were complete chaos prior, but they were colonized by the Dutch, the English, the French, all previous client nations. But they've completely missed the opportunity because they've rejected the doctrine. So they still remain in status quo poverty, if you will. So last time we noted that when judgment falls on a nation, the pivot's still secure because of their adjustment to God's justice. See, ultimately, it comes down to capacity from doctrine. And if a mature believer dies during a historical disaster, it's not discipline. It's just time to go home. The mature believer's death is the Lord's victory. And we have a passage on that in Psalms 16:15. It's not in my notes, but it's here. I just plugged it in because of it. This is a memory verse for people. Precious in that's 116:15 of Psalm. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. So when it's your time to go home, if you're into doctrine, it's your time to go home. And it's not to any your concern. You're going to be much better you correlate that with and conflate that with Romans 8. And you're better. You're going to want to be with God because your mission is finished. You'll notice that Jesus didn't spend any extra time here. Well, he was resurrected. He spent 40 days, and he was gone. You know, he didn't even wait till Pentecost. 40 days out, he went back to God, and then the Holy Spirit came 10 days later, and the church age started. So the principle of deliverance depends on the size of the pivot. It is derived in the fact that mature believers are a blessing by association, and have historical input. So we realize. A lot of the times we get everything backwards. We're not about the nation. The nation's about us. The predicate for the nation is believers. All right? That's that simple. Our nation, you can see by what's happening with our country, the whole ruling class and the politicians are just plain AWOL. It's crazy. I mean, this last thing with this guy, this kid, up 21-year-old up there in Massachusetts, supposedly had access to all this secure stuff and put it out on the internet in some stupid chat room. Give me a break. That is so stupid. I mean, the kid should go to jail because he did what he did. But the fact that crap can happen, I don't buy it for a second. I had a security clearance for years. And I had authorization to go see all this stuff, just like he did. Except I couldn't. Because the last phrase in that statement is you have to have a need to know. So you not only have to have the security clearance, you have to have a need to know the stuff. And I was for the same reason as him. He was a computer geek. You know, they have some fancy name for it, but whatever. I was the same thing. And mine was very specific on certain kinds of activities, but nonetheless, you had to even walk in the room, you had to have a security clearance, even though in the room you weren't exposed to anything that would let you see it. I mean, you weren't even allowed to see the displays. We were working on submarines. And the displays that were on the submarines, I was not even they were covered up. I was not allowed to look at them, even though I had a security. Then that was need to know. So it's the same thing with him. Somebody's feeding them that data. Now, this whole thing is crazy. And the reason the country's still running with people like that running the show, the pivot, it's the only reason it's still here. Otherwise, we'd be toast. And if God wants to take out China, he'll take out China. If he's ready to take us out of here, he'll exit us out of here and we won't stand a chance because the devil's going to take over. But it's crazy. You know, the more I see what's going on, the pivot is the answer. And if you're a part of the pivot, you're covered. And that's the only thing that matters. Jesus has got you covered. So, if a mature believer dies during a historical disaster, it's not discipline. It's his time to go. The mature believer's death is the Lord's victory. The principle of deliverance depends on the size of the pivot derived from the fact that mature believers are a blessing by association and have historical impact. While the pivot is secure, the spin-off from the pivot is destroyed in the historical disaster. So if it occurs, I mean, again, it has, we've seen it happen. If the client nation is taken out, then the pivot is extracted one way or another. They're given a heads up on getting out of Dodge. And they follow the lead of the Holy Spirit to get out of Dodge. I mean, not only do you have to know the information, you have to agree, buy it. All right? Which means it's going to be contrary to the average person. Because they're going to be lying to you. I mean, it's going to be like it is here in this country today. Everybody's lying to you. If they're talking, they're lying. Because it's all a lie. So, but you're going to cut right through that. The Holy Spirit's going to, and the doctrine is going to make it clear to you. Now, preparation is no problem. But I'm just saying, in the end, in this country right now, as far as I'm concerned, the exit resurrection is a predicate for the destruction of the nation. I'd be shocked if it's not. Because I just don't see it happening. We're here. We're doing the job, kind of. But we're doing the job as much as anybody can do it. Historical disaster simply separates those who are adjusted to God's justice from those who are maladjusted. Since the spinoff is always comprised of those who are maladjusted, they're disciplined and destroyed by the historical disaster. Of course, they're still believers, so they're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord also, but they're just not going to have as good of blessings as they would have at the evaluation. We noted that the predicate for the client nation is the precursor is the Jewish priest nation, and there's never a permanent Jewish client nation until Jesus Christ provides after the second advent during the millennium. So at that point they become permanent, and they're all the entire millennium they're connected to. They represent God, Jesus on the earth, and it's not until then. Of course, that's what 7 years after we're gone out of here. You know, so the next event for us is the exit resurrection. Israel will be restored as a client nation to God at the second advent. Then it will function as his representative nation on the earth for the entire millennium. We see there's lots of prophecies on this. One of them here is in 61 verses 5 through 8. So strangers will stand and pasture your flocks. Now this is what you call advantage. Foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. You will be called priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of the nations. And, I mean, this is all the things that the leftists hate. Think about it. Preference, opportunity, people that have privilege. privilege. This is going to belong to the Jews during the tribulation, during the millennium. And their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, you will shout for joy over their portion. And therefore will possess a double portion of their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. Now this is God's version of justice. It's not the devil's version of justice, which is that everybody, regardless of how perverted and criminal, should get the same stuff. That's what the devil teaches. And we're going to get to that in a minute, a little bit. Because the whole idea of their socialist agenda is that you have no freedom and no capacity to have prosperity, and they're going to divide it out among all the wackos. Well, that's what they're doing. You see, that, of course, that's part of the decline of this nation. But it's still going to hang together until the pivot's gone. In spite of that, they can do what they want, but until God's done with it, ain't happening. They can run it into the ground, and he's not going to leave until he's ready, until he's finished. I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering, and I will faithfully give them their recompense and make an everlasting covenant with them. Okay? Now, how about that, what's her name? All these wackos in Congress, these leftists. You know, crazy. That's the anti-Semites. Presently, in the church age, the USA is an active client nation to God. Now, we're just the present one. Remember, we talked about it last time. It walked all the way across Europe. Now, actually, first it started up the Levant, and then it turned to the left and walked all the way across Europe through the various facets of the Roman Empire, and then into the Northern Europe. It followed what was the Catholic Church for several hundred years. And then when they split, it followed the Western side, and then it followed the Protestant Reformation. And those are the nations that propagated afterwards. The first bunch of years, it was all basically the Catholic Church. That would include Constantinople, now Istanbul. And then, of course, it walked across southern. That would include Italy, Spain, and Portugal. And then into France and Germany, Holland. And up into the Baltic. And back around and then over to England and lands here. It followed the people. People with doctrine. In every generation of U.S. history, there's been ingredients for the client nation. Evangelism, Bible teaching, missionaries, and pro-Semitism. I mean, and you could say doctrinal teaching as well. Bible teaching, missionaries, and there is a comment there. Evangelism, doctrinal teaching, Bible teaching, missionaries, and pro-Semitism. That is what's keeping us alive. Those things. Now, obviously, there's issues with some of them right now. There's always issues. But there's more than normal at this point. The USA is a client nation reflected in our Constitution's limits on the federal government's authority. When the politicians respect the authority of the Constitution. Of course, right now we're in what they would call a post-constitutional republic. Well, that's just a spit in the face of God. Because the Constitution was established on divine establishment. So they can spit in God's face. As long as the pivot's intact, it ain't going to matter. And he's not done with us. When he's done, he's done. And at this point, it seems probable that since there's no other place to go. I mean, the next stop is what? China. Ain't happening. I mean, the places that we would go west from here, not going to happen. So, but the fact those places have already been evangelized, and they said no. So we've hit the last spot on the earth that has, there was no volition here, basically. It was empty. Void, well, with a few exceptions. We still have the ingredients, but the things are getting very bad. We have a small pivot of mature believers, but its spin-off is getting very large. Evangelism often adds works to faith alone. Bible doctrine is rarely taught properly or accurately, and reversionism has destroyed many missionaries. But see, that's the standard entropy of the devil's world. It's always going to go that way. It never goes better unless there's a reset on the process. And it's happened once or twice, even in the United States. We've had a reset. Back to establishment viewpoint and doctrinal truth. I mean, there was one in the early 19th century. There was another one in, say, somewhat in the 60s, to some extent, even though at that time the spinoff was really getting wild. And now they're running the show. And it could happen again. All it takes is a few people to get their act together and prioritize God's word. And we'll, if God will motivate it if it needs to happen. We'll see. We don't know. So after the exit resurrection, there will be no client nation. That means that there will be no nation of refuge for the Jews. Now remember, there's a whole bunch of commands for them about how to deal with that in Scripture. You know, it's about as far as leaving or not leaving as the case may be. Because there's two groups of Jews involved. The only thing that we're doing right at the present is providing a haven for the Jews, but anti-Semitism is increasing. And of course, the more leftist politicians you get, the more anti-Semitic it becomes. And it's going to eventually, I mean, that'll be, the whole thing will be squelched. You know, we won't be involved with it because God will reject us. When the church is taken out of the world but at the exit resurrection, so is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in providing the blessing by association and historical impact of restraining. We've seen that in 2 Thessalonians 2. And know what restrains him now. What's being restrained, if you back up a verse or two, is the beast dictator. The one who, the word for apostasy is a separation, has to do with the church, the exit resurrection. Let no one deceive you, for it will not come unless the exit resurrection comes first. Apostles, they think it's the church going off the rails. No, the church is off the rails. A lot of it. That's not the point. Apostasy means to be separated from the earth. And the man of lawless, that would be the beast, is a revealed, the son of destruction who opposes himself. And goes on, basically, and says, and talks about how the Holy Spirit is the reason why he's being restrained. You know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. So right now, the Holy Spirit through the church is stopping whoever the beast dictator from being revealed. Now, he's probably sitting in the wings, ready to go. I'm guessing that, I mean, the devil's got to have a show set up. So he's got all the ducks in a row, and he's got all his people in positions behind the scenes, and he's just waiting for the exit resurrection. And when it does, he's full bore for him, because there's no stopping him. All the restraints are gone, and he's going to try his best to create the millennium during that period, and then eventually go to war with the Jews. The times of the Gentiles and the client nations are described in Luke 21, verses 20 to 24, and this is the first kind of instantiation of it, because what was happening. This is speaking specifically of the destruction of Judea in 70 AD. But the church was on its way out of Dodge, because they were being persecuted by what was left of the client nation, the priests. And so he's telling them that this whole thing is going to go down, and it did. He's speaking specifically of the Jewish client nation here. And we're in an age of no client nation of what we're going to be in one to the next cycle. So this is a transition from Israel to actually to SPQR, up through the Ephesus and up to all those churches that we read about in Revelation. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. That would be Titus in 70 AD. And those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who missed of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city. Because there are days of vengeance, so that all things which will be written will be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant and who are nursing babies in these days, for there will be a great distress upon the land and wrath in his people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Well, that's now. We're in it. Close to the end of it, actually. So, where Jesus warns the Jews of the removal of Judea as a client nation. Mature Jewish believers were to understand from learning doctrine that Judah was going to be destroyed. And that's why John, the apostle, ends up in Ephesus. Now you go up there, you can see the house where allegedly, where they have a park, where he and Jesus' mother, Mary, lived. At least that was what they say. I don't know. I've been there. But then, of course, at the time, for a long time, for a while, he was out on that island in Patmos in a prison campaign. But nonetheless, that was where the early church went. And that's where the pivot went. And as a result, the SPQR, the East Holy Eastern side, became ascendant, carrying the entire empire. And it carried it for 1,000 years almost. Actually propagated across there for 1,000 years through various facets of it. When historical disaster described in this patch was fulfilled, the pivot was delivered while approximately 1 million were killed and 97,000 were taken captive. So that's when that happened. You can go to those places. You can see where they hung out. You go down to Masada. That's a cool place. It's right up on the desert, up above the Dead Sea. And they had this big fort down there that they couldn't get in there. That's where they ate the kids because they were starving to death. The Romans built a perimeter around so they couldn't get in and out. And then they besieged it, and actually had to build a siege wall over the walls. And they did. It took them a long time. Years. Because you couldn't get in or out. It's up on top of a mountain. It's pretty cool. So, and it's looking right, you look right down right onto the Dead Sea. So that's where that was Herod's place to go. But they all died. Because the Romans came in there and took them out eventually. The ones that didn't starve to death. The times of the Gentiles referred to the fact that in 70 AD, until the exit resurrection, there would be only a Gentile clan of nations to God. And there would be no nations during the tribulation where the only individual Jews will be evangelists. See, during the tribulation, which comes after we're out of here, they've had the 144,000, which again is 12,000 from 12 of the tribes. When the fifth cycle of discipline came in 70 AD, it ended the function of any Jewish nation as a priest nation until the second advent of Christ. There will be no Gentile clan nation during the tribulation since all believers are taken to heaven before this period of historical disaster. So like that thing, this is kind of, I mean, that sets the whole thing up, not unlike the way the flood worked out, when you think about it. I mean, everybody died there. But the believers were saved. In this case, the believers are exited, and the whole thing's going to go right into the toilet with the devil running the show. So the devil gets his shot. You know, he's not going to be able to say, I didn't get my chance. God's going to give him every chance he wants. And in the end, he's going to fail. The Gentile client nation should have a maximum number of mature believers for pivot, a maximum evangelism within their nation, and a maximum missionary activity to other nations in there to provide a haven for the Jews. The client nation is characterized by being pro-Semitic. No Gentile client nation can be a client nation to God without providing haven for the Jews during the times of the Gentiles. Anti-Semitism automatically eliminates any nation from being a client nation to God. And you can think of a client nation that went down that rat hole. That would be Germany. I mean, there's a lot of doctrinal churches in Germany that were put up. They were, of course, the Hitler and his boys went to war against the church, too. Don't forget that. But, in fact, it was some of the church people that stood up against him and tried to help the Bonhoeffer, people like him. You know, so there was pushback a bit. But it's like, I mean, what can you do against that? Nothing. You're screwed. You know, get out of Dodge is what it amounts to. And that's, he could have got out of Dodge. He chose not to. He went back to try to save some of his friends from the Holocaust. And he did. Ended up costing him his life, but that's okay. He went home to be with Jesus. But whatever, I'm just saying that happens. I mean, this country could easily go that path. You think it can't? We're on the cusp of it as we speak. With the wackos running the show in here at this point, the leftists. All they got to do is get about one more term and it's over. We'll see. But I don't know. I don't see it. I mean, of course, it's a pivot. I mean, you can have complete morons running the show pretty bad. And the pivot's still intact. God's going to keep it as long as his plans advance. He's interested in people believing in Jesus. And as long as that can happen, he's probably good with let it roll. Why not? Because he can exit people out of here anytime he wants. That's why there's no time known. It's completely, well, from our perspective, it's completely non-deterministic. We don't know. From God's perspective, he knows specifically exactly when it's going to happen. Because he knows what volition is going to do. During the tribulation, there will be a Jewish client nation, a Jewish nation, but not a client nation. It will be a great evangelistic thrust by the 144,000 Jews and the return of Moses and Elijah, but the Israel is not restored as a client nation unto God until the second advent. So basically, Jesus resets that whole thing. So in Romans 11:25, for brethren, I do not wish that you would be ignorant of this mystery. That is, so anytime you see the word mystery in the New Testament, it's talking about church age doctrine. Lest you become presumptuous, which means wise in your own estimation, that partial hardening has occurred with to Israel until the full measure of the Gentile nations has come in. So basically, any Jew can be part of the church. All they got to do is believe in Jesus. No, their traditions tend to prevent that, but it's not complete. There's a lot of Jews that are saved because they believed in Jesus. They call them Messianic Jews. So all you got to do is accept Him as the Son of God, and you're good to go. It's just like anybody else. So they're able to be saved if they want to be, but again, the problem is the challenge is that they have to overcome their tradition. But they're not the only ones that have traditions. A lot of Gentile churches have traditions. I mean, look how hard. I mean, Islamic people or Mohammedans. Same problem. They have all these preconceived ideas that prevent them from being saved, but still some are saved. The word translated Gentile nations is the Greek word ethnos. This we've seen it already in Romans 2. This word means Gentiles and Gentile nations. The full measure of the Gentile nations is the is all the client nations from the fall of Israel in 70 AD until the end of the church age. So we don't know when that is, so we don't know exactly when it's over, but we do know we're a part of it. The full measure of the Gentile nations refers to the time of the Gentiles with one slight difference. The times from the Gentiles goes from 70 AD until the second heaven. So there's a whole additional 7 years once the church is out of here that's still related to the Gentiles because there's no Jewish congregation. But there's no congregation. So again, the formal part of the congregation part is gone with the exit resurrection. But there's still 7 years left, approximately, a little bit less. The full measure of the Gentiles has to do with the fact that there will always have be Gentile client nations until the resurrection of the church. The difference is the tribulation, during which is no Gentile client nation, and Israel is not yet restored to as a client nation. Mankind does not possess the power to perpetuate or guarantee peace on the earth. There will always be wars and rumors of wars until Jesus comes, per Matthew 24, 6 and 7. So as you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, see that you are not afraid, for those who things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For the nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, various places there will be famines and earthquakes. So we got all that right now. You know, the whole thing is coming into play. In fact, I mean, I think that the earthquakes are certainly a factor. I don't think we're seeing it as much yet as it will. I mean, I'm a firm believer that global warming is caused by seismic events as of right now. They're blaming CO2, but that's impossible. Can't be done. It's impossible. The math does not work, but volcanic activity does. And you wonder why you got a river of water coming into California, atmospheric river. It's because the ocean out there is hot compared to what it used to be. And guess why that is? Because on the ocean floor, there's volcanoes going off. So whatever, you can believe what you want. But you know, as far as I'm concerned, if there's global warming, it is not from CO2. Therefore, beware of politicians who reject and diminish the military. This is a mandate in Ezekiel. It says definitely because they have misled my people. They've lied, saying peace when there is no peace, and when anyone builds a wall, behold, they plaster over it with whitewash. So that those who plaster it will fall, and the flooding rain will come, and hailstones and wind and violent wind will break out. So basically it's explaining that's not going to happen. Beware of the leftist clergy who manufacture lies about the word, about world peace. So tell those who plaster, Jeremiah, far from the least of them to even the greatest, from everyone is greedy for gain, and from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals with falsely. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. So they keep talking about world peace, but it isn't going to happen. It isn't happened. So I think our country has been at war basically perpetually from the get-go, some way or another, almost, from the beginning. It's been involved it seems like we continuously get involved with them. The Supreme Court of Heaven can punish Israel without any help, and anti-Semitism is a factor that guarantees the destruction of a national entity. God does not need any help in his discipline of Israel. Anti-Semitism is satanic. A whole of Revelation 12 discusses that. It discusses Jesus, the Israel coming, the sign was the woman clothed with sun, that's talked about, that's basically a prophecy related to Jesus. Then it talks about the sun being born, and then Satan coming after the sun to kill it. Because the sun being, of course, Jesus. Anti-Semitism results in liability to personal and national discipline from the Supreme Court of Heaven. And of course, the reason for that is God's promise to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And all the families in the earth will be blessed. So that's the same kind of promise that God gives to his client nations. People are blessed by their association with the client nation. Why? Because the client nation associated with mature believers. In the case of Abraham, he was a predicate for the gene pool. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the whole thing starts out with positive volition and capacity from the Word. All failure of the client nation to God includes both the spiritual and establishment principles. We see that in Hosea 4, verses 1 to 6. Listen to the word of the Lord, for this has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, there is deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes. Sounds like our country right now. Along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. So you see the blessing associated to the animal kingdom. Yet no one find out, and let none offer reproof. Your people are like those who contend with the priest. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night. And I will destroy your mother. That's a metonymy for the nation. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. So that's the downtrends. And we have that now in our country. You know, that's a harbinger of what's going to be coming at some point. But we don't know when. And our exit is most likely into heaven with the exit resurrection. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, and that's again, you could have a reformation here. Clearly could have a reformation here. The failure of believers to execute God's plan and purpose results in a shrinking pivot of mature believers and the rejection of establishment. Leftist politicians will, with a fantasy notion, pursue power and utopian plans to destroy a national entity. In fact, they're against all nationalism. They have this so-called idea of utopian internationalism. Good luck with that. Utopian concept came into history in 1516 with Sir Francis Thomas More wrote a book called Utopia, that described a state of political and social perfection. Utopianism involves the dreams and schemes of an imaginary situation of political and social perfection that is divorced from reality. Utopianism is a satanic concept of the millennium brought on by the work of mankind rather than by the work of God. This is the warning of Ezekiel 13:10-16. So basically it talks about being misled. Peace, my people have been misled. There is no peace, and it goes on to discuss the whole thing. We saw that. Utopianism not only rejects the biblical prophecy of the millennium, but also ignores the total depravity of mankind and the need for a regeneration and the requirement for the establishment principles that are delineated in Scripture. So that's, let's see, the Word of God then becomes the predicate for success, our happiness, and peace. God has established nationalism in all the human race to protect it from self-destruction. That's seen in Acts 17:24-27. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needs anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he has made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times, their boundaries, and their habitation. And that they would seek God, if perhaps maybe they might grope for him and find him, through he is not far from each one of us. He's certainly not. He's omnipresent. So the issue here is nations, remember, are basically encapsulated places where you have a border, you have a language, and you have a culture. And that encapsulation creates a place of security. So when one nation is taken out, another one isn't. Now, when you get with internationalism, the whole world is going to be run on the same shop. And there's not going to be any place to get away. Although there's going to be some pushback here. That's how the Jews get pushed back. They push back, and then the world goes to war with them in the second half because they refuse to comply. to the dictator. But nonetheless, initially they start out accepting it, and so you end up with no place to go. Utopian socialism is an economic system based on the premise that if people voluntarily give up their freedom and capital voluntarily surrenders its own ownership of the means of production to the state, poverty would be abolished. See, that's the big lie, that you can, it's been tried in a couple of places pretty big here in the last 100 years. You know, you got Russia and China and North Korea and Cuba, Venezuela. You know, that would be a good place to start. How'd that work out for them? Not well. This redistribution of wealth is totally disastrous, and the Bible does not teach any such thing. The Word of God teaches that you must always have capitalism and free enterprise, and capitalism is the only economic system that creates prosperity. Now, that's all based on what? Capacity. So, of course, the leftists get all upset when somebody has more than somebody else, because they think that's unfair. But they don't see the capacity. The reason people have more is because they somehow or another are connected into God's blessing, whether it's visible or invisible. In fact, the leftists can't see that. They purposefully are blind. So people are blessed because of capacity in some way or another. Now, not everybody is personally has capacity. A lot of people inherit things, and that's not wrong either. Now, a lot of times the people who inherit stuff end up blowing it all. But a lot of times that doesn't happen. So it's capacity. Can you get it and can you keep it? And if you do, you're then a blessing to others because you have more than you need. And you're not concerned with, eventually, you're not concerned with keeping it all. So typically they start that way, but overall that's not the way it ends up typically. And eventually you're going to die anyway. So you're going to give it to somebody else. Jesus Christ controls history, and he controls history through the function of his divine essence. He controls history as a judge of the Supreme Court of Heaven. He controls history through the pivot of mature believers who are functioning under the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, in a client nation. He controls history through the utilization of the wrath of man to praise him. So basically, that's a good verse. For the wrath of man will praise you, with a moment of wrath you shall gird yourself. So God actually uses people's negative volition against him as a way to control things. It's kind of crazy, but he does. So he has control over every circumstance. So even when people go crazy, like these leftists are, he's controlling it. He's allowing that to happen. And in the end, it benefits his agenda. Even Satan's wrath, as displayed in the tribulation, will ultimately accrue to God's glory. Because it shows how much of a moron he is in the end. Which is precisely what the agenda is in the end. So, you cannot fulfill your objective of becoming God. Ain't happening. And he's going to show it, and it's going to be infinitely be seen by anybody who has a clue. And it's not going to be challenged again. He controls history through the preservation of Israel against the anti-Semitic functions, both satanic and sin nature. You know, we get that in our, again, it comes from, people are jealous of the Jews. That's sin nature. And of course that's inspired by Satan as well. But they're jealous of them because they're prospered. Well, why are they prospered? Because of the gene pool. We saw that in Genesis already. So they reject God's prosperity on people rather than being thankful and recognizing that they're going to be beneficiaries of the process if they stay with it. Crazy. He controls history through the preservation of the planet during the course of human history. He not only created the universe, per Hebrews 1:10, but he holds the universe together by the word of his power, per Hebrews 1:3 and Colossians 1:17. So he's fully in control of everything. So if there is such a thing as global warming, he's ultimately going to use it to advance his plan, whatever that means in context. So it's not to be concerned about, and we don't need to electrify the world to try to solve that problem. By controlling of history, Jesus Christ provides freedom for the function of human volition. He controls history through Second Advent that terminates the last and greatest world war of human history. So basically, he stops the war against the Jews at the very end that would prevent him from fulfilling his promises to them, which are in the Word of God. And the word is not going to ever fail. So some principles of hope for a client nation. You cannot buy hope because hope is not for sale. You cannot legislate hope because hope is the monopoly of God and hope demands a relationship with God. See, this means that government cannot give you hope because hope is the product of confidence in God and His word of truth. And that's a passage here in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith that remains these three, faith, hope, and love. See, that's the doctrine being the first one. Confidence is the second, and the third is integrity. So that's what remains is this function of the spiritual life. The whole agenda comes based on doctrine, and that you develop confidence in God for, and then have integrity towards your environment, the people in your environment. This means that the hope for the Gentile client nations to God during the church age always depend on the believers executing the unique spiritual life that is impact on the nation through blessing by association. So again, the believer is the issue. I said last time, the mature believer is the sine qua non of the client nation. It can't exist without it. And then everything else then is downstream from that. So the nation exists as a client nation because of the believers, and the nation then is able to bless all the other nations, and you see that principle in as it relates to Israel. As goes the spiritual life of the believer, so goes the blessing of God for the client nation. In recognition of the doctrine, as goes the believer, so goes the client nation, hope is a monopoly of the royal priesthood of the church age. Remember, our country is unique in that regard, in that we are our royal family. I mean, we don't have a royalty, like a human royalty, like kings and queens and stuff. The church is our royalty. So it's the universal royalty of the church age believer, the royal family of God. Only those believers who execute the unique spiritual life of the dispensation of the church constitute both blessing and deliverance to the nation of God in any given generation. Therefore, hope in the client nation is related to the pivoted mature believers who execute the spiritual life of the church to become a vehicle of blessing by association. And a lot of the books in the Bible in the New Testament end with this concept of a benediction. It says in Hebrews 13:20-21, "Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus Christ, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in that which is pleasing to His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and forever and ever. Amen." You know, there's a lot of those benedictions here at the end of these verses, these chapters, or these books. The grace of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Ephesians 3. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond what we can ask or think according to His power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So basically, the power that we have to perpetuate the client nation is based entirely upon God's word and His integrity. And next time we'll start with our next phrase in Romans 3. Father, we thank You for the opportunity that You'll give us to understand the situation on this earth and why things are the way they are, and how sometimes that seems to be a conundrum. But you understand the principles of capacity from doctrine, Your word of truth, then you can understand how it is that certain people groups seem to be blessed more than others, because they are. And it's not because they're anything better than anybody else. It's because they have positive listen to You and Jesus Christ. Because that's really the issue. To have faith in Jesus Christ alone and be part of that eternal family that You have that is on the earth and representing You in the devil's world. So help us to be part of that and advancing as You would have us to be, that the whole system might be perpetuated for a little while longer according to Your will. And we ask to thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen.